Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Every 12:30 on Friday, you hear two voices. One is mine. The other is the car coach. It's her segment. And if you on a Friday morning would like to go to YouTube, subscribe to Car Coach Reports and get all updates every Friday morning. Also, follow her at social media at Lauren Fix, laurenfix.com as well. Subscribe to her, follow her, and go to Car Coach Reports on YouTube, 12:30 Fridays. It's the Car Coach Show. Lauren Fix, I'd like to keep this into the NHL by asking you about Zambonis. Now, listen. Wouldn't that be a nice little segment?
No, very little.
That would be great. You sent me
cool,
some.
I would review it. I'd review it for sure.
One of the things that we've talked about in the past, and I see now on Car Coach Reports, Fridays on YouTube, by the way, subscribe to that, is the hidden cost of electric cars. This is something nobody is talking about. And it's not just I'm saving money at the gas pump. Everything's great. There's a little bit more to it than that.
Absolutely. You know, I posted a tweet also. I think I sent that to you as well. I'm on Twitter at Lauren Fix. I'm easy to find. But, you know, I was having this conversation with a friend of mine yesterday. I was out in Phoenix, Arizona, test driving the Honda Pilot. And we're talking about electric cars being charged to 80%. And I thought, wait a minute. So imagine if you're buying a gasoline-powered vehicle and you're only told that when you go to fill it up with gasoline, you can only fill up 80% because the engine could prematurely wear out. And that's exactly what you're saying about electric vehicles. So that effectively means that whenever the range they claim effectively is, it's 20% less. You lose 20%. Right?
Right.
Does that make sense?
Totally makes sense.
I mean, you can only charge 80. You should charge you 100%, wears down your battery. Sort of like your phone, right? Over time. That's one of the hidden costs that people don't think about. But I do a whole segment. It's about 10 minutes long. If you're considering an electric vehicle, you know someone is, please share it. The idea is that although the tax credits all sound great, anytime you incentivize something, it's never as good as they claim it is. Just remember that. If there's all kinds of discounts, you're pushing something that it may not be to your benefit. It might work for you. Again, you have some listeners that love their electric vehicles, then you should be able to buy one. That's always been my rule. You should never be told that you can only buy one thing. That's it. Because there should
explain
be.
Explain that thing that you were, I think you tweeted it out or you put it on your social media, but you're referring to if you filled your gas tank, I'm going to get right to it and I quote it correctly. Because I think people understand. I think people have a basic understanding of what memory is on a battery from just having a cell phone or having any electric device that has a lithium ion in it, the way you have to charge those things. There's some laptops, for example, if you keep charged in all the time, they actually don't, you kill the battery that way and you have to keep it charged in permanently because the battery can't keep up. You wrote, imagine a gasoline.
I have that on my laptop.
That's because of the battery. You wrote, imagine buying a gasoline-powered vehicle only to be told that if you fill it past 80%, that the engine will prematurely wear out. And that's exactly is what's happening with EVs. Why is that happening with EVs? What's the reason that that's happening?
Well, the same thing's true with the battery in your laptop and your cell phone. They tell you don't plug it in all the time. I'm part of the group of ABC, always be charging. So I would come everywhere I'd go, I'd be charging. But then that's just another thing to charge. And people don't realize that what you do is you wear down the battery. It's not like an engine. You fill up the gas tank, you drive it, you're out of gas, you get more fuel, you keep going, you take care of it, you do all the maintenance, which I know is a little bit more than it is for an electric vehicle. And you can continue driving. I've done articles on vehicles that go 300,000-400,000 miles. But when it comes to an electric vehicle, that is not the situation. You charge it to 80%. You charge it to 100 every time. It's just like your phone. You just keep wearing it down. And then suddenly that range, when it is at 100, is a lot less than it was when it was brand new. Again, that's true of the laptop as well. So when it comes to electric cars, one of the expenses, there's a lot of expenses, and yes, there are low price ones, but the average cost of an electric vehicle is $65,000. Those are real numbers, Kelley Blue Book. I don't make those up. And even with the tax credit, a lot of people aren't eligible for the tax credit because you there's all kinds of income limits now. And the rules are going to change again at the end of March. We just found that out. We don't know what they are, but you have to pass the bill to know what's in it. You know how that goes. I think we've heard that before. Wait a minute. That wasn't a good deal either. Higher insurance rates, MoneyGeek, which is, analyzes all the different insurance rates, says between 17 and 60% higher insurance rates to insure an electric car. Just so you know, you got to just know these things. Higher registration fees, because obviously you get, when you pump gas, there's a tax in there. There's a state tax and a federal tax, and they use that to repair the highways. So as fuel economy gets better, they take in less money. But also, if you're using an electric vehicle, there's no taxes. Well, they changed that last year, and there are 31 states that charge a fee for plug-in cars, even if it's a hybrid plug-in. So you're using gas and electric, you're getting double hit on that. And then on top of that, they're talking about a by-the-mile fee. And for New York State, lovely Kathy Hochul already has added on a fee for electric vehicles for registration, and there will also be a by-the-mile fee coming. So if you haven't seen it yet, that's the thing. They don't know how to bill you on that. Is it a little thing you plug into your vehicle? Are they going to go on the honor system? I highly doubt that. Somewhere, someplace, even if it's with state inspection, they're going to get your mileage, and they're going to bill you for it. And we don't know what that is. And that number could be low initially and think, it's only $80 a year, whatever. But then they can raise that number too, just like they do with taxes, right? Oh, it's only 7% sales tax. Well, now it's 8. Now it's 8.75. You know, we're thinking about moving it to 9. You know how that goes, right? So
I mean, that just seems so, by the mile, I mean, there's a million reasons why you want to encourage, I mean, there's a reason why you want to encourage people to live not in the city. You want them to commute. There's what that does for, you know, obviously tolls is one thing, but there's businesses along the way. It's a larger tax bracket. Fill up the city as high as you can and then move the suburbs out. Keep all that money in one area. This makes no sense.
Now, you're talking about 15-minute cities now. That goes down a whole other thing. That's another theory that the World Economic Forum, who just had their wonderful little meeting in Davos, Switzerland, they want everything to be within 15 miles. You don't need a car. You don't need transportation. You don't need electric vehicles. Everything will be, everyone will live in a city where everything you need is within 15 minutes. I don't want to live like that's living in a dome.
It's literally like living in a Russian colony. 803.
Like a prison.
Right, a gulag. 803-0930, 1-800-616-WPN. One of the things that came out of Davos and the World Economic Forum is this. Al Gore gave a speech, and he literally came unhinged, and he started screaming about 600,000 Hiroshimas, that the oceans will boil. I mean, at some point, like, there are people that don't go to church because of sermons like that. You know what I mean? Like that fire brimstone. How is it? That's not, who is that appealing to? Is it appealing? Are those rah-rah speeches for the environmental base? Or is that trying to get a person like me to come to their side?
I don't think it's going to convince someone like you. Honestly, it doesn't convince me either. It makes me look at you and go, you're crazy. Why are you screaming? Yeah, you don't have to scream to get your point across. You do it every day, 5 days a week. You're on the radio. You have calm conversations with people. You're not screaming. You're not yelling. And you let people think. People are smart. They go, I never thought about David's perspective. Maybe I'll start thinking. Maybe I'll do some homework and start looking a little deeper. That's what people are like. No one wants to be screamed at. It's like screaming at your kid. It makes you feel better. It doesn't make them feel better. They just go, whatever. They ignore you. And I think they are screaming for the mainstream media. It was hype. It could have been a publicity stunt, which wouldn't surprise me. But remember, with the World Economic Forum, and they've said this multiple times, their goal is that there is no cars for you. They flew in on private planes. And many of them, there are 2,700 super wealthy people, and they invite their super wealthy friends and their super famous mainstream media, and those that got fired from mainstream media, I noticed as well. And they have great conversations. It's Stelter. Yeah, he's a piece of work. But it's interesting to me as I watch this that the World Economic Forum is totally clueless to what the rest of the world is living like. You know, we don't have chefs and private people coming into our home doing everything for us, so all you have to do is wake up and make decisions with all your cash. That's just not normal for us. And I think that's one of those things that, how do I explain this? To the average person, they have no clue. They don't own cars that they have to drive and maintain, pay car insurance. They have huge, huge funds. I mean, and anytime someone from the normal press tries to communicate with them, they don't want to talk to you. We are the gods. You are the people. We want a one world government. We want to control every aspect of your life, your car, your stove, you name it. And a lot of politicians are following along with that. I'm not saying I agree with it or not. You make your own choice. Welcome to America. So they take that away from us. But it's just, I'm sorry I had to throw that in there. It was just low-hanging fruit. I had to grab it. Right. But when it comes to automotive exclusively, really, you should be able to choose your... And this is what I put out two videos this week. One on used car prices. Actually, three. The other one was on Wyoming, talking about banning electric vehicles. The state of Wyoming. That opens up a lot of conversations to other states that this doesn't work.
It's going to lead to. It's going to be a new spinoff of Yellowstone. They're going to be like going to war against the electric car. We've got a call, Mike in Orchard Park. Mike, you got a question about trucks, pickup trucks. Go ahead, Lauren Fix, car coach.
Hi, thanks, guys. I'm sort of in the market for a truck. I was always a truck guy. Now I'm driving a car and miss my trucks. So I know there's always a better time of the year to buy a 4x4 truck. So that's kind of a two-part question. One, is that still hold true? And two, I'm torn between gas and diesel. I tend to keep my cars for 10 or so years, and I'm wondering if the extra upfront cost for a diesel-powered truck would be offset by the amount of time that I keep my vehicles.
Excellent questions. Okay, as I said in my used car video, the prices that went up, I think it was Tuesday, if you can wait 3 to 6 months, you're going to have much more inventory available to you. There might actually be some incentives. The chip shortage is still lingering. They still have not been able to get up to production. I've never seen anything take so long that shouldn't take this long. But
so you're saying that I should wait to get new versus used?
Well, if you can find a new vehicle. I mean, I just purchased a new pickup truck myself. I've been waiting, but since July, but if you can order it, I personally go diesel. Why? Diesel lasts longer. You change the oil. If you're really good on the maintenance, it'll last well over 300,000-400,000 miles without a question. It's all right about the maintenance. Whether you buy a Ford, you buy a GM, you buy a GMC, which has some great trucks. You've got a Ram truck, all great trucks. I prefer diesel. You can tow. I have a diesel SUV. I can go from here in Buffalo all the way to the Georgia-Florida line in one tank. 38 right. miles of a gallon all day long. It's great. Now, if you had a big one-ton truck, obviously you're going to get less fuel economy. But it's all how you drive it. But maintenance, I'm personally a huge fan of diesel. We probably would have more diesel cars on the road if Volkswagen didn't mess it up. And that's all. They're the ones to blame. They did it to themselves. They overpromised and underdelivered and paid the price financially. But as far as pickup trucks, if you're hauling anything, you're towing anything, I would absolutely go diesel. If you say, no, I'm just driving it around, I just like the feel, you can find some really high fuel efficient gas trucks that are out there as well.
Okay, and you think the...
Mike, go ahead.
I do a little bit of towing, but mm-hmm. do you think the $7,000 to $10,000 upfront difference in the diesel engine would pay out over the... say 10 years?
Absolutely. Absolutely will pay off over 10 years. Yep. And
okay.
you'll find
you
if you're traveling a lot, yeah, you'll get better, the lower priced diesel in other states. Unfortunately, it's not the New York state because they're going to keep raising the gas tax.
Yeah, exactly.
Well done.
All right, thank you very much.
Mike, good call. I too am torn by gas. I believe my problem is lactose, but I understand what you're saying. Thank you.
Well, we could probably get you some Gaviscon or something. You know?
We'll do something about that in another segment. Trevor in Sanborn, you have a question about carbon emissions. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm kind of Johnny come lately here, tuning in, but I wanted to have a conversation about the new emissions requirements that's coming down the pike. You're on a federal level as as well as New York State. So my family owns a small fleet here in Niagara County of commercial trucks, and I was talking with my Peterbilt salesman, oddly enough, this morning, and he was telling me what's coming down the pike and what it relates to emissions. 2024 emissions standards on a federal level will be requiring, of course, further particulate matter filtering, which can lead, or which is going to affect the truck cost. He figures about $40,000 more per commercial truck. So you got to factor that into an already overpriced truck for really what it is. And then on the backside of it, you also have New York State regulations that are coming down the pike, or legislation that is supposedly going to be imposed, that for every 18 diesel vehicles sold by a commercial truck dealer here in New York State, one electric commercial vehicle is going to have to be sold. So that 18-to-1 ratio is going to be playing around with not only the dealers, but the fleets here in not just Western New York, but the entire state. I just wanted to get your guys' thoughts on that.
Well, yeah, I did read about that. It's not most of the videos and content I do, I keep that local because that is a state issue. California is also vehicles that are over 2010. If you have an older than 2010 truck, they're saying it has to be right off the road. So it'll get sold to another state. And what it's going to do is the cost of used vehicles are going to go through the roof, because if you're thinking, oh, I got a 2015 truck, I'm going to have to get something else, or for whatever reason you decide to sell it, you trade it in, it's got high mileage. States like California are going to absorb all of the newer used vehicles, and it's going to make the older used vehicles go to other states. And this is what makes no sense. If the U.S. or North America decides to be super environmentally and green and watch all this carbon capture and all that, if India and China and Russia and all the rest of the countries aren't, it's all one environment. It's all one atmosphere.
Right.
So it's not like it's just over our country, you know?
New York literally contributes less than 0.5% to greenhouse gas emissions globally. And now we're forced to take all these radical measures as small businesses. You know, mm-hmm. Small businesses are literally the backbone of this this country and this state. And all it's going to do is cripple us. I mean, people are going to be out of jobs. And you know, small businesses are going to be forced to go belly up. It's really unfortunate that it's come down to this. It's terrible. Our family business is three generations strong, and we're fighting this electrification push tooth and nail, because this is our future. This is my wife and my kids' future. You know, it's just terrible. It really is.
It really is bad. And I don't think, I have so many things I want to say, but I'm going to have to keep it to cars, because David knows me well. And anyone who knows me that I want to say something. I will say, when it comes to the trucks, you have to go to your politicians and tell them that this is impacting your business in the district of the person that is representing you, whoever that is. You need to go to them and say, listen, you're not just affecting my business, but all of my customers, all of my vendors, and that affects you, not just on your reelection bid, but also all the people that live in this area, because we hire those people. We give them jobs. And it's not, when a company is there, it's not just that company. It's all the little companies around it, from the little diner across the street to the dry cleaner to the accountant, the marketing company, whatever, the tire company, everything. And I don't think politicians know that. They think so short-sighted. Well, we're going to do this because that's what the rest of the state does. Well, we elected you to fight for us. We are local residents, and we want you to represent us, not your own personal needs or wills or wants or aspirations to go to the next level. And so you have to call these people, literally call them, email them. And the key is not to flip out. Even though I know you want to, the key is to say, here is the problem. Here is the resolution. This is what I want you to do if you expect to continue my vote. Because if we lose our business, you lose everyone that works for us, X amount of people that work for you, and you need to speak to them on a level that they can understand, because if you yell at them, you flip out and you threaten or you scream, they will totally shut you down. Everything you have to say, no matter how good, will be ignored. So you really need to find a way to communicate with these people and let them know, hey, listen, I elected you, but you're not going to get reelected. Keep going that way. And that goes for the governor, too. Feel free to communicate, because when you bury their phone lines, they know they got a problem. Just like we should all be burying their phone lines on these gas stove versus electric stove silliness. You know, she's really unprepared for this position, and she keeps proving herself every day.
These people, these politicians need to understand that the small businesses in New York State and of America are literally the ones that fund these campaigns. And they just don't get it. The trickle-down economics that we're going to just eliminate fossil fuels, decarbonize everything, just flip the switch. Flip it. Right. You can't flip that proverbial switch. Is it the way of the future? Perhaps. I mean, you know, my crystal ball is no better than anybody else.
Down the road. Right. Hey, yeah. Trevor, really good call, man. Appreciate you.
Appreciate the call. Excellent. Yeah, excellent. Lauren, that's why in Wyoming they're talking about banning electric vehicles, because it affects oil and gas and all their businesses, and it affects your economy. So I did put a video up on that Wyoming. So if you want to check out my Car Coach Reports YouTube channel, you will see that Wyoming might be setting a whole new conversation for some states.
Lauren Fix, the Car Coach, every Friday, 12:30. Follow her on social media at Lauren Fix. Go to laurenfix.com, but most importantly, go to Car Coach Reports. Subscribe to that on YouTube every Friday morning. Get another Easter egg of brilliance. That is Lauren Fix. Thank you so much for your time, Lauren Fix.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in baseball isn't boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.